Welcome to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show is presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Now, from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, it's the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And a good Thursday night, everyone. We are live from the Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River, the season debut of the Investors Bank High School Football Show. As tonight we talk Shore Conference High School Football from now until 8:30, like we'll do every Thursday during the fall season. Kevin Williams, along with the usual group, Matt Harmon and Ed Sarluka, joined by the fourth member of the Shore Sports Network team, Scott Stump. We've got an action-packed opener for you tonight. We'll talk with two of the Shore's premier football players, a couple of seniors, Jamie Gordonier of Red Bank Catholic and Carmen Sclafani from Brick Township High School. They'll be on with us tonight. We'll take a look at the around the Shore. We'll take a good look at this first full weekend of the season and a lot more. Our usual, for those regular, we'll chat with Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan a little bit later on. And a lot going on as we get ready for, I'm a little confused, I got to admit it. I mean, I'm getting old and I'm losing things, but
call it 0 week.
Well, last week was called week zero, but there were games played. This week is called week one, in which for some teams they'll be playing game their second game of the season. So not exactly sure, but we did sort of kick off the season last weekend with five games around the Shore, 10 of the 43 teams in action. Just about everyone else will roll it out this weekend. And as we say good evening and we welcome everyone to the Water Street Grill, our favorite place in downtown Toms River, Coach Luke, I'll start with you. So what was last weekend exactly?
It was 0 week. We had five games played and led by our and everybody's number one team, Red Bank Catholic, who was very impressive in our game of the week against a pretty undermanned Wall team. What was it, 55-6? And they laid claim to that number one slot, and they deserve it.
Matt, that was one of the five. It was, as we said, a kind of an interesting week. I think there were actually a couple of people who were surprised by some of the results last weekend.
Yeah, I think the one that maybe got most people's attention in terms of upset was that Freehold-Middletown-North game. You know, Burrow on the road, Middletown-North. Is it going to be one of those years that they can finally get themselves over the hump a little bit? And Freehold on the road, knocks them off 26-14. It looks pretty good doing it. You know, fairly consistent effort, defensively pretty solid, although Middletown North ran the ball all over the place, just couldn't get in the end zone enough. And to me, a pretty big win for the Colonials to start their year.
Now, before we turn it over to the newest official member, he's been unofficial for a long time, let me mention that there are several ways you can follow this show each and every Thursday night. We are we broadcast live on 1160 and 1310 AM. You can listen on ShoreSportsNetwork.com. If you download the free Radio Pup app on your phone, you can listen to us that way as well. And, of course, this year, if all goes well, and frankly, I don't know if people are seeing us or not, but we are streaming the video live here. You know, normally it's a matter of, you know, good faces for radio, but we streamed the video live. Did that more because of our guests, and especially when the kids are on and people who want to see them. And you will be able to see and hear Jamie Gordonier and Carmen Sclafani. Just go to ShoreSportsNetwork.com, follow the instructions, and join us that way via YouTube. But we're delighted to have Scott Stump, our partner. I think people who follow us know that we are a multifaceted company now. We have a little bit of everything. We, of course, broadcast like we're doing tonight. We have the Shore Sports Network Journal, which comes out twice a month, and our football preview issue is out, our very popular football preview issue, 92 pages. Scott and company did a tremendous job. That is available absolutely free at any Jersey Mike's location in Monmouth and Ocean County. All your super Wawas, those are the ones with gas stations in Ocean and Monmouth County, among a lot of other places. We'll have it some of our games early in the season. And, of course, we have ShoreSportsNetwork.com, our website, in which Scott does a remarkable job, along with Bob Batters and Matt Manley, really covering the gamut of football and boys soccer at the Shore, and some great features on there. And Scott, this is your time of year, my friend.
you know, I was hoping to get a little bit more sleep before all this started. Like, doing a week zero has now been invented, so things ramp up a week earlier. But it was fun to get out there last week. I was at the game. I was talking about the Freehold
Middletown North game. Josh Dixon, really impressive performance for Freehold right off the bat. 217 yards rushing, four touchdowns, and like Matt was saying, you know, a little bit of an eye opener. I mean, Freehold, both Freeholds, it was a big week for, you know, Township and Borough combined 3-17 last year, but 2-0 going into week one.
And what happens coming up this week?
They play each other, you know, and that was their Thanksgiving game, which, like a lot of teams around the shore, they've now moved earlier in the season, you know, to week one or two, and that game's got a lot of juice for the first time in a while. One of those teams is going to be 2-0, and it's a divisional game now because Freehold Borough is in A North from B North. So it's exciting to see that game get a little more love this year.
Some people are asking the question about the Week Zero. Why was it created?
Well, I think part of it was, you know, certain teams that didn't have Thanksgiving games, it allowed them to schedule a bye. And, you know, a lot of coaches say we didn't want to play nine straight games without a break. So that's why some teams did that earlier. And, you know, I guess in other teams, I guess it gives them a chance to get maybe a little bit more of the spotlight than they wouldn't have had, you know, a full gamut of games. You get your program to get a few more eyes on it when there's only a handful of games. But mainly, I think it was just for, as more teams phase out Thanksgiving games, it allows them to schedule breaks in their schedule rather than just going nine straight games in the playoffs.
I mean, one would have to think that it's going to be a trend that continues, you know, and now all of a sudden, if you're one of those teams that says, we don't want to play on Thanksgiving, now there's a perfect spot to put it. And, you know, I would imagine at some point it's not going to be week zero anymore. It's just going to be week one because so many teams will start to do a 10 already this year at the Shore, where I think last year there was just one, right? It was just that one.
It was the Donovan Catholic at St. John Vianney.
Yeah, right. That played up at Kane College. Right?
Correct, yeah. But so it's definitely something that's catching on.
And also the reverse of that is the Thanksgiving Day games. There are only 10, I believe, this year, right? 10 Thanksgiving Day games. And remember, we've got, what, 43.
Yeah, I mean, that's a day. There used to be 20 games
exactly.
On that day. So, but I think, you know, you'll have your traditionalists still clinging strong, you know, the Toms River, South Lakewood, the Middletowns. You know, it's going to – I'll be shocked if those games ever go away, you know, the Manasquan Walls. But they're definitely dwindling down to probably 6 or 7, you know.
You know, the other thing is that with the NJSIA rules now, you can start practice the first day after the first school graduates in June. And so many coaches just continue have practices in June, most practice in July, and almost all of them start at the beginning of August. So the earlier starting time, teams are ready to play the first week in September.
And we know one thing. Coaches are, what's the word I'm looking for there? You know,
crazy.
Well, besides that, but if they know this guy's practicing, no matter how early it is, well, we got to get out there as well.
Paranoid.
Yeah, they are completely paranoid. I mean, you know, I tend, as the oldest, one of the oldest members of the staff, I tend to wax poetic about the old days when you started practice September 1st. You couldn't practice before then. You know,
you guys are really old.
Yeah, we're really old.
That's the way it should be.
But I sometimes wonder, is it too much? I mean, you know, kids in the summer, I mean, you know, as Ed said, they have like almost like a little mini camp at the end of the school.
And they're doing 7-on-7s seemingly every weekend of July.
Exactly.
It's just about a year-round thing. I mean, it used to be teams were getting on the same page offensively and things like that during preseason camp, but they've been running the offense and doing that the whole summer.
I think I'm okay with, you know, informal type things going on, weight room stuff, maybe some running a couple times a week during July, but to do the full practice stuff, I think that is crazy because, you know, I mean, I know it's a great area that we live in, but there's a lot of kids who have to work in this summer. They need to put some money in their pocket. They need to maybe either help out with what they're going to do college-wise or help their family out or save up for a new car or whatever that might be. You're basically eliminating that part of a kid's life and saying, hey, once school gets out, you better be ready.
And
to
ones who are multi-sport athletes, you know, when it's, hey, I got basketball practice, I got to go to lacrosse, and then it comes to the point where you have to start choosing because you're just not going to be able to fulfill all those obligations.
And don't leave the coaches out, Matt, also, who most coaches, young coaches, they need that summer employment, and it cuts into their work time also, having to be on the practice field, and they've got to work schedules around, and most of them have families, so it's a problem, but they get through it.
What are the storylines of this season? What are the, as we really set the really roll this weekend, what are the the things that are of interest to a lot of people, and like Scott, what you'll be following this fall.
Well, I mean, if you're talking overall Shore Conference, obviously the first thing is, can anyone stop RBC? I mean, they've now won, I believe, 34 in a row against Shore Conference competition, and then it's, can they get over the hump against St. Joe's Montvale in the state playoffs, you know, and finally bring home their first state title since, what, 1976, which is the year I was born, so you know it's been a while. You know, you look at, can Brick repeat for the first time since the early 80s? You know, 1981 to 83 was the last time they won back-to-back state titles. And then there's intriguing teams. I think people are really curious what's going to happen at St. John Vianney now. You know, Mark Ciccatelli coming in there, pretty sparkling resume, five high-impact transfers, talented kids from other schools, plus some good returning talent, like their quarterback Anthony Brown. Are they suddenly become a factor? I mean, that's a team that hasn't won a division title since 1982. You know, are they now going to be a strong part of the landscape? I think that's another thing. And actually, transfers has been what a lot of this preseason has been dedicated to. You know, all the off-the-record conversations, I can't tell you how many I had. It's just, that's become a real big thing, a real big topic of discussion among coaches.
You know, we mentioned RBC. Can they get over the hump in that North Jersey parochial division where they've stumbled the last few years, even though they have been the number one team in the Shore? But let's talk about Manalapan, who has lost in the Central 5 and 4 tournament in the finals 3 years in a row. They still have yet to win a state title in their school history.
The Buffalo Bills of the Shore Conference,
yeah.
Almost. To me, one of the ones I'm interested in this fall is Toms River South. Obviously, they have some very talented players, one of the more talented players in the Shore. You know, they opened the door a little bit last year. Can they really kick it
open
this year?
That was such a heartbreaker. I mean, when you think about it, they were up 24-0 on the Shawnee team that ended up winning it all and is now currently ranked in, like, the top 15 in the state.
Yeah.
So that shows their potential when they're playing, you know, at full tilt. So, yeah, that Brick, as we've talked about, will be the favorite in Class A South. Can they take them out? You know, can this group that's really helped resurrect that program from a winless season get a championship to show for their efforts?
I think one of the other ones in terms of teams that are expected to be really good, another team looking to get over the hump south of where we are, is Barnegat. You know, that's the next team on the list that has stumbled in the state playoffs. They have now all of a sudden become this plethora of Division I talent. Well, with all that talent, can they get themselves that state championship? Can they avoid that bad loss to tie for a division in B South, which seemingly they've done the last couple of years as well?
And a key to that, real quick, Matt, is that their nemesis in the last few years, Delsey, is now moved up to Group 3, whereas Barnegat stays in Group 2. That's a big minus.
Well, I mean, that South Jersey Group 2 bracket, still no joke. I mean, Haddonfield, West Deptford, a perennial power that's beaten Barnegat in the playoffs in the past. So they have their work cut out for them, but they certainly have the talent to do it. And then you look at the two other defending state champions. Point Beach made history last year. And on paper, you got to like their chances to win another one after winning their first one ever. And then Rumson-Fairhaven has Charlie Volker back. They've never won back-to-back state championships. And the last team from the Shore to win two in a row in that bracket, or maybe the last team from anywhere, was Manasquan back in the 98-2002 stretch when they won five in a row. So, you know, you always keep an eye on the defending state champs as well. And then I think the one other storyline, and we're going to find out more about them this weekend with the big game, is Middletown South coming back from a rare 500 season. You know, they played a ton of sophomores last year. They went 5-5, first non-winning season in 29 years, which I know head coach Steve Antonucci is sick of hearing when he jokes, you know, it took us 17 years to have sort of a down year and be 500, but with a tremendous sophomore class now making an impact, those juniors back. They play South Brunswick, top 15 team in the state, Syracuse recruit Dante Strickland, so we'll see what they're made of at home in the Swamp tomorrow night.
Well, we're going to take a break. We talked about, you mentioned Division I talent, Division I recruits. We're going to be speaking with one when we come back on the other side of the break. A current Casey will soon be a Hurricane. We'll talk with Jamie Gordon here after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Well, they opened up their season on Friday night, this past Friday night, with a 55-6 victory over Wall Township in our Jersey Mike's Game of the Week. They are unanimously the top-ranked team in the Shore, among the top-ranked teams in the state of New Jersey, and one of their big leaders is with us tonight. We're talking about Red Bank Catholic, and their outstanding senior linebacker and tight end is Jamie Gordonier, and good enough to make the trip down south to be with us on the opening show. Jamie, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. So let's talk a little bit about we were bandying about the week zero. Did you like playing the early week game? I mean, the result was good, but did you like playing early?
Yeah, I did. I thought it gave us a good edge now coming in to play week two. We've gone against another team, and it's going to feel great now going to week two, 1-0. Week one.
Yeah, week one, that's right.
Yeah, we're all confused. Don't worry about it.
So this is an exciting season for you. You know, you're a senior. Obviously, trying to win that state championship, the elusive state championship, it really is one of the storylines this year. You've seemed the last couple of years, it's almost like another step, just not quite there. Is this team this year the one that you think can deliver that state title to RBC?
I think so. State championship's always been a goal for us, and I think each year we're getting closer and closer. And, yeah, this year I think we can.
What are the expectations like, Jamie, just among the team? I mean, it's obviously, you know, continue winning and get that state championship. But, you know, we talked on the broadcast last week. How do you guys stay up for every game? Because you go in to basically every game, and you have for the last couple of years, as a prohibitive favorite. I mean, you know, whether it's there's no numbers associated with it, but you go into every game with everyone saying RBC is going to win this football game when it comes to at least Shore Conference teams.
Yeah, we don't really take anyone lightly. We go into each game not knowing what the outcome is going to be, but we play just the way we're capable of, and we practice hard every week like we're going to win every day. So,
how about this change in the division this year? Playing some different schools. And, you know, looking over your schedule, it's not an easy schedule. You're going to face some Shore powers in the past years that are good again this year.
Yeah, the new schedule change is definitely something that we like. We like the competition. We want to play the best teams we can.
All right, we're going to get back into the team in a second, but I want to ask you because you're one of, it seems to be happening more and more, guys who make the college decision early. Take us through the process for you. You are verbaled to the University of Miami, where you're probably fairly familiar with the head coach there, Al Golden, yep, who wore the same colors you did. The process for you, when did it start? Who did you visit? What were the schools, and why Miami?
The process started pretty early. I got my first offered first game junior year, actually. It was from Pittsburgh. And then I started getting offers all through that season. And I kind of narrowed it down to a few schools by the end. It was Duke, Boston College, and Miami. I visited all three of those schools. Miami really stood out to me because when I went down there, I connected with Coach Golden really well. Knowing his nephew and knowing him, it was easy to connect with him, and it was a perfect combination of athletics and academics, I think.
Is it a little bit of a weight off your mind that you don't have to really go through this entire season worrying about it?
Yeah, definitely. Get it done before the senior season. I can really just focus on the high school football and not really worry about that stuff till after.
Do you still get phone calls?
I do once in a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think the coaches can still call, right?
Yeah, they can.
Exactly. So, you know, but...
call and text? You get texts a lot?
No texts, just calls.
Tell us a little bit about the relationship with Al Golden, who Kevin mentioned, the head coach at Miami who played at RBC and then later Penn State.
I have a great relationship with him. He's a little different than other head coaches that I've been talking to, because he actually checks in on me all the time. Usually with other schools it's a recruiting coordinator or the guy for your area and or position coach, but with Miami he's always talking to me, always asking me how my family's doing, and along with all the other coaches too.
Obviously, you know, you gave us your three finalists, Boston College, Duke, and Miami. Academics pretty important to you.
Yes.
Tell us about your thoughts on what you might major in, and did Miami have what you were looking for?
Yeah, I want to major, I have a general idea, something with business. I'm not sure which field in business, but Miami does have a great business school, and that was one of the factors that played into it.
Weather didn't hurt either, right?
I was going to say, is the beach important too?
Yeah.
Jamie, how much do you pay attention to what is going on down there now? I mean, are you obviously, I'm sure you're the social media person. You follow whoever you want on Twitter. But, I mean, are you looking every day like, hey, I can watch this video about them. I can see what they're doing there and really following what the program is doing, like, on a daily basis?
I am now. I never really did any of that before I started getting recruited. And now that I have, like, a favorite team, I'm more on it. I'm looking up stuff about Miami every day.
Did you have a favorite team, like, growing up, a college team that you really followed?
No, I actually never did, and now I have my one team.
All right, so let's kind of get back to the team aspect of this with RBC. I want to ask you a little bit about your new quarterback, because we watched him last week, Eddie Hahn, and a superb athlete and kind of like a linebacker playing quarterback. He's a big kid, strong kid. Real big legs. I mean, tough to bring down, and I think deceptively fast. Like on that one touchdown run last week down the sideline, we almost felt like he wasn't even sprinting, and he just kept pulling away. But the dimension he adds to your team.
Oh, he adds a great dimension. Previous quarterbacks, we haven't thrown the ball much in the previous years, but he adds that this year. We can throw the ball a lot more. He can run too. We can really do everything with him. He's not just a great athlete, but he's a great leader. He, as a junior, he leads our offense. He leads our team, and yeah.
And you also got some big hogs up front, right?
Yeah, we do.
Division One guys. Mention some of those guys up front.
Everyone up front is great. Liam Smith at left tackle. He has, I think, four offers now. He stepped up this year. It's his first year starting, and he's doing great. And then we also have another junior, Ryan Onitis. He's playing left guard, and they've been doing great. The rest of our line is seniors, and Ryan Kroger, he's been playing for us in sophomore year. He's at right guard, and Neil Hornberg is a big kid at right tackle. He's about 6'3", 285, and our center, Nick Roy, is great, too.
Wow. Bet we didn't invite them all tonight. There'd be nothing left for anyone else here.
No food left. No. I got one more quick question. Your decision to go to Red Bank Catholic, what did that entail?
Where do you live, by
the
way?
I live in Monmouth Beach.
Okay.
So your school would have been Shore Regional.
Why RBC?
I picked RBC because it's a Catholic school, private school, and the football, too. If I wanted to go big-time college Division I football, I think that's the best choice.
Because you have an older your older brother played basketball at CBA, right?
Yeah, he went to CBA.
And he's in college now?
Yep, he's at Pace University.
Okay. All right.
What do you think it's been the last couple of years? I mean, RBC, within the last decade, they went from, you know, maybe you probably wouldn't remember, but they went from kind of a team that nobody really thought much about to within the last 7-8 years to basically being the measuring stick for all teams in the Shore Conference.
I think a lot has to do with Coach Portella. When Coach Portella took over as head coach, it just got a lot more serious. We started winning more games. Every practice is up-tempo. We're moving around, running to drills. There's really no time to relax during practice. So the practices, I think, are what went in the games.
Tell us a little bit about him. Is he a fun guy? I mean, he's very businesslike. You know, he doesn't give you a lot of material. You don't get great quotes from him. Is he a good guy in practice, or
is he
serious all the time?
He's listening now.
Yeah. He's not serious all the time, no. When it comes to practice, he is serious when he wants to get down to business. But he's a great guy. He's funny.
He helped. Was he involved at all in your recruiting at all? Give you any advice?
Yeah, he was very involved. He's the reason a lot of schools came to visit me. He is very active in it, and he talks to all the schools. And having kids go Division One before you kind of helps out too, like Quentin Nelson and Jack Tabb. So we have connections, and Coach Portella really helps out with that.
What can you tell us about Quentin out at Notre Dame?
I heard he's doing great. I talked to him, and he has said that he has a chance to play this year midway through the season at right guard, right or left guard.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty good.
This week? You're on Saturday, right? You guys play Saturday?
I think we play Friday.
Oh, you play tomorrow night.
Yeah. Long Branch.
Long Branch tomorrow night. Good
that's
opponent.
A big game, yeah. Big game right off the bat.
Good opponent. From what film and what you've heard about them, what do you have to do against them tomorrow?
Well, the difference between them and Wall is they're a lot more fast team than Wall was. So I think we have to work on just like them running outside and different stuff. Wall was more of a pounded kind of up in the middle, and Long Branch is a little different.
You know, we know you're an outstanding linebacker, and obviously that's the position you got recruited on. Are they going to throw you the ball at all at tight end this year?
I think they might. They haven't yet, but
is there even a play in the playbook for you?
There is, yes.
Just hasn't been called.
Yep.
So you project as a outside, inside linebacker at Miami? Have they told you anything?
It's kind of like a stand-up defensive end, so like a 3-4
okay.
outside linebacker.
So rushing, right?
Yeah, a lot of pass rushing.
Well, listen, you know, we really enjoyed getting a chance to watch you guys play last week against Wall. And it was a very difficult game for Wall. You know, Wall, they're a young team, inexperienced, new coach. You kind of took it to them. But we got a chance to see your team. We were very impressed with the way you guys play and are obviously very well coached. And I know for you, anything less this year as a team than winning that state championship will be a bit of a disappointment. I mean, I think this is the year you guys really want to kick the door down.
Yeah, definitely. I think this year we have a lot more team camaraderie than the years before, too. Everyone gets along well, and I think this is our year.
Well, we wish you a lot of luck, not only tomorrow night, but the entire season, and we'll really enjoy following you at the University of Miami. Really appreciate you coming down tonight. Stay healthy and have a great season.
Thank you.
All right, stay right here. We're going to take a break. That's Jamie Gordon here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with one of the best offensive players in the Shore, the quarterback from the Brick Green Dragons, Carmen Sclafani. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And, of course, the Water Street Grill, a great place to spend your Thursday night football tonight. NFL week number 2, Steelers-Ravens in Baltimore tonight, 8:25 kickoff.
You never know there was a game this week.
Well, I'll tell you what, we won't even go there. It was a wild week, but this is our favorite place. We spend our Thursday nights here all fall long. Hopefully you'll bounce on down and join us for one of these. Want to mention that Sansone Junior 66 Auto Mall, 66 MVP, and the Shore Sports Network, proud to sponsor Shore Conference High School Football. To enter to win a remote starter from 66 MVP, simply text MVP to 89,000. Well, clearly one of the great storylines of last football season was what took place at Brick Township High School with the Green Dragons, one of the Shore's proudest programs with an unbelievable tradition, won a state championship for the first time in nearly 20 years. They were 9-3 on the season. Lofty aspirations this year. If Red Bank Catholic is clearly the number one team at the Shore preseason, the Green Dragons of Brick right behind them in most top tens, including ours. And their leader and the reason for a lot of optimism again this fall is their senior quarterback, Carmen Sclafani, who's good enough to join us. Missed the pasta party for this, huh? Did we take you away from the pasta party?
Yeah. Thanks for having me, but I wish, you know, I got to be with my team on a night like this.
I understand. Yeah. Well, we'll give them some shout-outs during the next few
Absolutely.
Minutes so you can make it up. Carmen, it was kind of magical last year. You know, winning the state championship in your first year, winning the green and white uniform, and you had some injuries late in the year. You had to overcome that. And when you got a chance to really reflect on it all, when everything was over in December and you thought back, we were almost shocked by what had happened.
I mean, last year was something special, and I mean, everything happens for a reason. That's what I say. That's what we've been saying. But I mean, it's a new year, so we just try not to think about it a lot. I mean, it was special, but we're moving on right now because we got the season in front of us.
Back to back, right?
So we
one day at
about,
a time. One
we,
day at a time.
We forget about last year completely.
Yes, we do. That's the rule around the locker room. Coach Dahl says, you know, no talk to ring, no talk to state championships. I mean, we take it one day at a time, one game at a time.
You know, it's got to be a different set of circumstances for you guys this year, though, as opposed to last year. Because last year, you know, you kind of snuck up on everybody in a way. I think at some point everyone figured out that Brick was a pretty good football team, and then you guys go ahead and win the state championship. But at the beginning of year last year, no one really knew what you were going to be. The beginning of the year this year, everyone thinks you're going to be very good and challenge again for a state championship.
Yeah, I definitely think you could say we were the underdogs last year. That's a good label for us. But, I mean, this year I think we're going to have a big target on our backs. I mean, no one's going to put week whatever we are, week 1, 2, or 3 for them past them. I mean, they're going to circle us. I mean, they're going to prepare for us. And, I mean, we're going to prepare for them. We know they're gunning for us, but it's going to be a little different from last year. I mean, we just got to prepare even harder.
The difference between the 2013 Dragons and the 2014 Dragons. What's the difference?
Other than the players?
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, do we have some new players that we got to look for?
Definitely do. I mean, our offensive line, first of all, I mean, nothing happens without our offensive line. We got Alex Rapasso at center, who I think is one of the best linemen in the shore. And we have a new tackle filling in for Logan Schmitz, John Kozak, and we have Tyler Colonna and Anthony Trapasso and...
You got to remember those linemen.
No, Anthony Trapasso and...
You'll think of it.
Yeah.
How about the skill guys?
Jussier Taylor.
The guys you're throwing to this year.
Yeah, Jussier Taylor, Simon Vangelis, who was pretty quiet towards the beginning of last year, but then stepped up at the end of last year. I mean, he's got a few offers right now, but yeah, we have a lot of new guys.
We'll save Fattoruso for a second. That's okay. You'll come up with it. You take care of the offensive linemen. But I'm interested in your role. Last year, you were the new guy in town, and you know the quarterback by nature is a leadership position. And I'm wondering, did you feel comfortable being a leader from the get-go, or did that have to evolve a little bit? And now look at this year. How about your role in terms of the leadership part?
Definitely from the beginning last year, I thought I had to earn the respect of them. Definitely being a new player, I mean, those are some of the toughest kids I know, and I was in there, and they're like, you know, new kid, we don't have anything to respect, and I just have to earn my respect, and I thought I did all right.
I think you did more than all right.
Was there any moments, you know, during that maybe transition period that you thought, maybe I didn't make the right decision to come over?
Not at all, because the players were they were great. They took me in like a brother, and I mean, It was easy and it was smooth, so no, not at all. I think that.
And a big part of that was Uncle Chip, right?
That helped. Yeah.
Let me ask you.
Of course, we're talking about Chip Labarca Jr., who is the offensive coordinator and a big part of that championship team last year.
Yes.
Definitely. How much do you guys talk outside of football time on the practice field or game field, how much do you guys talk, you and your uncle, about game planning and stuff like that? And do you try and really influence him on plays like, you know, Coach, I'd like to throw the ball a little more. I mean,
the influence part, no, definitely not. It's all him. I mean, we got our trust in him. He knows what he's doing. But we do talk a lot on the phone. I mean, he'll run plays by me to let me know what I'm doing, just so I have a idea. You know, we're close. So, I mean, it helps.
I do want to ask you, because I think I made no secret of last fall, one of my favorite players in the entire shore was Ray Fattoruso, who to me is an absolute throwback. I mean, if you're an old guy like me, you love him. Plays the game from the opening whistle to the end. And, you know, when you got hurt, he filled in a little bit at the Wildcat again in that game against Jackson. Both you and your backup went down and almost pulled it out in a hard-fought game. I know it cost you the division title, which you'll try and get this year. But what about him? Why is he a special player?
Ray just... He's just probably the toughest kid I've ever met. He's got a motor that lasts longer than anyone. He plays the game with his heart. That's definitely what separates him from everyone else.
How do you feel like you guys complement each other on the field?
I think he's definitely the tougher, more hard-nosed, and I might be a little more of the finesse, you know, being the quarterback, I'd throw a little bit.
You're a little better looking too, probably, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, come on. Come on, throw it out there. Come on, this is your moment. Hey, season opener, Saturday. This was one of those games, Ed, that used to be a late season game, right? It was a Thanksgiving game a couple of years ago. They moved it. You play Brick Memorial. You're at their place on Saturday afternoon. Tell me about the opener, what it's been like leading up to that. And are you one of those guys that likes to play that kind of important big game in week one, or as opposed to you don't really ease into the season, that's for sure?
I mean, I love big games no matter what, but I think as a team we have a list of goals, and our first goal is obviously our most important, being Brick Memorial. And we prepared all offseason. I mean, in the weight room, it's what's been written on the board. I mean, I think everyone's just ready for it. Everyone's just ready for the season to start. I mean, it's been a long time coming. I mean, and we can't wait till Saturday.
Tell us about the preseason, you know, the scrimmage schedule. I know you went up and played some big-time schools.
Yeah, we played Lenape and we played South Brunswick, who was a really, really tough team. And I thought it was a good test for us because we played some local teams and we did well, and we went up and played South Brunswick, and they were tough, and I thought they gave us a test and, you know, opened up our eyes to some stuff that we have to fix and get ready for.
I mean, are you tired of, like, hitting each other in practice? Are you looking forward to hitting someone wearing a different color uniform?
I definitely think so. I mean, we can't wait till – I mean, they know, we all know the guys on the other side of town, but we can't wait. I mean, we can't wait to just hit someone else because we've been hitting everyone. We've been scrimmaging every day and stuff, so, I mean
– Is the team healthy? The
team's absolutely healthy right
good.
Now.
Good. It's good.
Did you go watch a game last week?
Yeah, we were all at – we went to watch RBC Wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think of RBC?
Yeah, they're studs. They're really good. Tough to
Well, you know, in our fantasy land, you know, when the two, what is it, 12-0? What could you be, 12 or 11?
I guess you can, 11.
12-0 or 11-0, you two will meet, I think, the second week in December,
in
RBC
playoff?
And Brick. In
playoff?
Yeah, the ultimate playoff.
The mythical championship game we created.
I mean, Jamie already okayed that. So.
Yeah, yes. I think
it's a long way to go before that.
I think my team would be
excited for that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You're a senior, an outstanding baseball player as well, but your second sport, clearly, right? Are you giving thoughts about, you know, after high school, what you'd like to do, where you might like to go?
Yeah, I am. But, I mean, the season right now is most important, but I am. I'm giving some thought into it. You want to know what's
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, fill us in.
St. Francis and Sacred Heart are probably my top two schools right now. I'm looking to go into PT, and they both have good programs.
I got one quick one, Matt. How about the cover? Did you take any heat for being a transformer?
For maybe being the smallest one? No. my friends busted my chops.
I was going to say, did you take any heat?
No, I mean it's cool.
Well, you are the quarterback. Cool. You got to be little. You can't be like those big linemen.
Absolutely not. I mean, they're all bigger than me in real life, so it only makes sense.
You're probably about the same size as Volker, though, right? He's not that big.
I heard Volker put some weight on this year. Yeah, you know, he's trying to get to 3,000 yards this year.
Yeah. Carmen, what's the feel around school, around town? You know, I mean, obviously, Brick, one of the more traditional programs at the Shore, but there was some down years, and then last year you guys win it. Just, is there a different kind of feel as you walk through the hallways at school or bounce around town?
Definitely more of a positive feel, because I think last year we had, you know, being the underdog, you have a little bit of chip on your shoulder, and this year we had a lot of kids come out for the team. We had everyone in the weight room. I mean, it's just more of a positive vibe going around school and around town right now. I think it's only going to help the team.
You got a ring on there? You got a ring?
Can't believe I forgot
you
it.
You forgot the ring.
I wear it a lot. I didn't want to get it dirty.
You obviously come from a football family, and for evidence for our listeners and viewers, many of whom are here tonight to support you, which is not unusual because you guys do have great support for one another. You know, you mentioned your uncle, very successful head coach in his own right. Now your offensive coordinator. He learned from someone who coached a little football. His dad.
Hall of Famer.
That's right. Your dad was a player at Toms River South, and I watched him play in high school when he was not quite as gray as he is now. And he kicked the ball pretty good, part of some great teams there. So how important is the whole family thing to you in football?
I think it's the most important thing. I mean, aside being a part of a family on the field, I think my family supports me great. I mean, I would be nothing without my family's support, so it's real important.
Well, it's pretty obvious. We said it really was a great story last year. It's pretty obvious that you have put that behind you and your team has put that behind you. I'm sure you are looking forward to running on to DeFabio Field across town Saturday afternoon and getting set to kick it off against the Mustangs of Brick Memorial.
Definitely. I mean, can't wait. Can't wait. We're itching. We're itching.
I'll be there. We're not doing it on the air. Unfortunately, we got Mammoth on the air. Not our fortunately, but we got you down.
It'll
the line.
Upset the rest of the
No, we got you down the line a few times.
Yeah, we sure
do. Dragons, you know.
Yeah. Well, Carmen, we really appreciate you coming down tonight. I know you had to leave your teammates.
I forget when I shout out my lineman, my boy Pasquale Attilio, left guard.
There you
go.
I knew he'd remember.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're okay now. He'll take care of you.
Even though he ate your macaroni already, probably.
and we want to thank your coach, Rob Dahl, for helping hook us up with you kind of at the last minute. We appreciate it. Rob had a great year last year, and I know the restoring of the tradition of Brick meant so much to him and many of those guys on your staff. We wish you all the best this Saturday and the rest of your senior season.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
All right. Carmen Sclafani, the quarterback of the Brick Green Dragons. We've got a few more minutes to kill before our hour is up. I mean, those are two pretty good players, right? We Jamie Gordonier, who makes most of his living by tackling guys like Carmen Sclafani, and Carmen, who hopefully will lead Brick to another outstanding season.
Two of the best, and two of the guys whose teams, you know, if you think number one and number two, RBC, Brick number two, two teams that have unbelievably high expectations during the course of the season.
Yeah.
He looks great, doesn't he?
He looks
I mean,
good.
To me, he looks like he thinned down a little bit, put on a little muscle, and I guess that's junior to senior year.
Jack LaLanne here. Or
yeah, you know, he looks nice. He's tanned up. You know, he hit the beach this summer. He's ready to go.
What are you doing right now?
No, he looks good. I just said he looks good.
Ed throwing in the comedy at the end of the first hour.
We can always count on him for that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, I'm looking forward. I'll be at that game. I will attend that game before we go on the air on Saturday night, Matt. So,
by the way, let me just mention quickly, tomorrow night, our Jersey Mike's game of the week, we'll do one of those town rivalries. And, again, a game that used to be the Thanksgiving game that has gotten moved up is Jackson Memorial, the old school, Jackson Liberty, the newer school. They'll play that one at the home of the Lions, Jackson Liberty, and we'll broadcast that game tomorrow night with a 7 o'clock kickoff. And there's kind of an interesting story with that in the, you know, Scott touched on in our opening segment, the transfer situation in which you have Matt Castronova, who transferred from Jackson Liberty to Jackson Memorial this summer and now has to sit out 30 days and will miss the first, I think, four games.
Yes.
You know, so you have that.
You know what I think is really interesting is that with that week zero that we talked about in the beginning, some teams getting a head start, and then week one here, and so many teams deciding not to play on Thanksgiving, to me, the biggest benefit of that is there are such good games all over the place, and some of those old town traditional rivals, the Brick Memorials, Mattawan, St. John Vianney, that was a Thanksgiving Day game for a long time. I think Neptune and Ocean, I mean, obviously we're going to talk about these games later on, but some of those like traditional rivals now set themselves up in week one to play. I think it's made it a really fun start to the season where, you know, that first week maybe you play an out-of-division game before you get up and rolling. For some of these teams, that first game, whoever it is that they will play, they have huge implications for the remaining part of the season.
Yeah, and Jackson is one of the teams that will challenge Brick this year in that A. As you mentioned, Kevin, they are the defending A-South champs. I saw them in the preseason a couple of times in scrimmages. They're good again this year.
Yeah, so I mean,
that will be a interesting game when Brick and Jackson play, although they've got a few in before.
I mean,
that.
They have to replace some really good players. They lose Kanai Glover, the outstanding tailback, and Ken Bradley, their fullback and linebacker, among others, Jackson does. But you can be sure that the Jaguars are not going to give up their division title without a fight. You know, in what is Class A South and what, you know, Scott has talked about on several occasions, that, you know, might be the, from top to bottom, the best division in the Shore Conference.
By the way, Brick and Jackson will meet in week four at the home of the Jaguars. At the home of the Jaguars.
Saturday night game,
yes.
A game that has been moved to Saturday night.
I mean, all those games, you think, you know, A South, and to me, probably right after that is probably B North, maybe a competitive conference other than RBC, but everyone else in there really, you know, can an Ocean, can a Neptune, can a Long Branch emerge as that second team? I think that's going to be a really interesting discussion during the course of it. But I think as we've learned during the course of all the years we've done, teams in those bigger conferences, they can't take anything for granted. Because
no.
Even though a team may be a little bit down, it is not surprising at all when you pick up, you know, when you go to the website and look at things and check the scores at the end of a night, you say to yourself, I kind of saw that coming. You know,
yeah.
Upsets are not really all that prominent, I feel like, anymore, especially in those big leagues.
A little shout-out. We didn't get a chance in our opening to talk about it, but a nice win for Donovan Catholic, their first win with their new name. Right, last week the school changed the name over the summer, beating Pinelands 10-7 on a last-second field goal by Giancarlo Stigliano,
Why do I think he should be playing baseball now?
who was the Sport Clips Player of the Week, and you can see his game-winning field goal on SureSportsNetwork.com.
First football game ever.
A soccer player formerly at CBA.
Yes.
Who moved over to Donovan Catholic and kicked the game winner. That's a pretty good way to, you know, make an impression in your new school, right?
Good story.
And Donovan Catholic will have a real challenge on their hands tomorrow night when they host Toms River South.
What did you think about the name change, Kev? Anything to think about?
My personal opinion?
Yeah.
I thought it was
no
good.
No problem, right?
I kind of thought it was a fresh, neat name. Now, my wife is a alumnus.
Of St. Joseph.
She's
probably
an alumnus
right?
at St. Joseph. She
right.
said, I didn't like it when they changed it to Monsignor Donovan. I warmed up to that.
No.
I'm not so sure I like it again, but eventually you'll warm up to that.
First time today I saw the buses.
Oh, with the...
They changed. They have a little thing over them that says Donovan Catholic.
Yeah. Well, they've got a tough one. They've indeed got an extremely tough one tomorrow night.
It's got a little edge to it, I think.
Go ahead, Matt.
I just think the name change, just to finish on that, I think it's got a little edge to it.
It just sounds too
a little different, rolls off the tongue maybe a little bit better, and you know, as they try and recruit and get other better, not just athletes, but students in general, I think, you know, it's a little more modern, I think, is what it is.
Did he say recruit? I didn't say it. Okay, he did.
We got a couple minutes, right?
How about what
the Indians are doing tomorrow night? To get to the game. Mention that.
Toms River South, which the back entry of the school is on Hooper Avenue, is basically everyone involved with the program, the football players, the cheerleaders, the band, the pep squad, you name it, they're marching down Hooper Avenue to Donovan Catholic.
No buses.
They're going to walk down there. Obviously, they're going to get a little bit of a help from the Toms River Police Department, and they're going to march into the football field there to open up their season. I'll tell you what, it should be an impressive sight marching down if you're kind of in front looking down at it, you know, as they all come down Hooper Avenue.
I would think so. Especially with the players in uniform, the band.
Yeah.
You know, reminds me of the old days when Ron Signorino was the head coach at Toms River South, real quick. He drove the buses, stopped on the parkway on his way to Brick, and came in the back door at Brick.
Yeah.
Let the kids off on the parkway and came in through the woods in the back part of Brick Field.
That would be a lawsuit.
I was just going to say, you know what, Matt, you stole my one. Yeah. Those shenanigans will get you a spot in the superintendent's office Monday morning. You know what I mean? For
why,
sure.
Why did I think Ron Signorino Sr. didn't care at that point?
Different times, right? Different times. We're gonna hit a break very shortly, and then after the news, we'll come back. We'll talk with Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan. Hawks opening up their season with a win. Had a bye week, and we'll look to make it two straight when they host Wagner Saturday afternoon. And then Scott Stump will rejoin us, and we'll kind of take a look at this week one schedule and the games that he's intrigued by. And all of that stuff.
It's a great weekend of football on the Shore Sports Network. You know, our Friday game, and then the Monmouth game on Saturday, and then we'll do Lacey.
I didn't even mention that, Matt. I'm sorry.
You know, what we thought would have been our opening weekend, we were going to do Wall and RBC, and then when they moved that game, we jumped on it as well to do the Week Zero game. But always that first weekend, we try and look for an extra opportunity to grab another game. So doing Lacey and Toms River North by the end of the weekend, we'll take a look at four teams as opposed to just our normal two.
Yeah. And Saturday night, while you're doing that game, I will be at Rutgers University, where Penn State welcomes the Scarlet Knights into the Big Ten. No comments. I'll save them for another day. Music means we're coming to the top of the hour. We come back. Coach Kevin Callahan, Scott Stump rejoins us. Delighted you're with us. Stick through the break. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And welcome back to the Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River. We're getting set for the home stretch of our season-opening Investors Bank High School Football Show. Kevin Williams, Ed Sarluk, and Matt Harmon and Scott Stump here at the Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River. Steelers-Ravens kicking off in about 15 or 20 minutes or so. Monmouth University will kick it off again this Saturday at 1 o'clock. The Hawks will host Wagner at Kessler Field. Monmouth opening the season with an impressive 52-21 rout of Delaware State on Labor Day weekend. The Hawks had the bye last week, and then they'll look to make it two straight. Their head coach is Kevin Callahan, our partner, and he's good to join us tonight. Coach, first of all, welcome to the first of our high school football shows. I know you and Matt are on every Tuesday night with your show from Jack's Goal Line Stand, but I want to start out by saying, how did you come through the Delaware State game? I know a couple of your players got nicked up. Tell us health-wise how you are going into this week's game at home against Wagner.
Well, you know, as everybody now knows, there's a couple of guys that are dinged up a little bit, but I think for the most part, as a team, we're healthy. We have a few guys that are nursing some minor things, nothing overly serious, and, you know, we hope to have everybody ready to go on Saturday.
And coach, obviously for Monmouth, this one, it's always big. Every game is big. You only have limited chances during the course of a season. But looking at what lies ahead a little bit after Wagner, a three-game road trip with two stops in Pittsburgh and one stop in Lehigh, sandwiched in between Duquesne and Robert Morris, to start 2-0 and have both of those games be at home, you kind of get the ball rolling and a little bit of a head of steam as you make those trips west.
Well, you know, we would like to do that, Matt, and obviously we had a good start against Delaware State, but that's what it was. It's only a start. It's only the beginning. We have a long way to go, and I think we saw that once we had an opportunity to look at the video from the Delaware State game, and that's what we spent the bye week doing, focusing in on the little things and some of them big things that we need to do a lot better. And my hope is that we're a much improved team as when we take the field on Saturday against Wagner. A team that's going to be very physical, a team that we know well. We've played them for the last 21 years, and we know it's going to be one heck of a game.
Coach, Matt mentioned Wagner this week, then a three-game road trip to Pennsylvania. First six games, non-conference, then you get into the Big South schedule, a new schedule for you guys. How important is it to win? You know, I mean, what's a realistic goal for the Hawks in these first six non-conference games?
Well, I think the realistic goal is every time you go out there, try to win the game, and you want to win the game, and that's what our approach has been. And I know that may sound a little crazy and coachish, if you will, but that's what we need to do. I mean, we know what's looming at the end with the Big South schedule and all those high-powered opponents, but, you know, you can't – the teams that we're playing right now are high-powered as well. You know, Wagner's a playoff team that in 2012 went deep into the playoffs. Lehigh's a playoff team. You know, Duquesne's a team that beat us badly a year ago. So, you know, we've got our work cut out for us right here, and we can only do one thing and focus on the task at hand.
Coach, there's obviously a lot of history between Monmouth and Wagner. When you play on Saturday, it'll be the 22nd time, which is the 22nd year of football. It'll be the only school with the schedule now starting to break up a little bit from the old NEC schools, the only school that Monmouth has played every single year and geographically about 40, 45 miles. So it's always a little bit of a different feel when it is Wagner week in West Long Branch.
It is, Matt, and there's a tremendous amount of familiarity between the two programs. You mentioned the proximity, 40-some miles, and, you know, I think we know each other well, and we recruit the same players, or we had recruited the same players over the years going back to 1993. I spent 3 years there as an assistant under Coach Hamline. Coach Bobick spent some time there as an assistant under Coach Hamline. Marvin Clesidor, Juwan Jackson on our staff also coached at Wagner at points in their history. They have assistant coaches who coached with Kevin Morris when he was the head coach up at UMass. So there's a great deal of familiarity between the two programs, and I think that adds to the excitement, that adds to the rivalry.
Talking with Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan. Coach, opening early this year, Labor Day week, and actually before the kids were even on campus, and then having the first of two bye weeks that early. Did you like it?
I'll tell you what, it's a little bit unusual. But I think this year it came at this first one came at a very good time. And, you know, we would treat an early bye different than we'll treat a late bye. In an early bye, we're 1 week out of preseason practice. So there's a lot of fundamental things that I wasn't happy with, the way that we executed, the way that we performed in our first game against Delaware State. And you might say, well, how can you not be happy with a win that, you know, we kind of were going away in the end of it? But there were things we need to do better if we're going to be a good football team. So we spent this first bye week kind of almost going back to preseason mode. We were in full pads 3 days that week, you know, and we got after it a little bit. And there were things that we have to really step up our game. It was also an opportunity to get a number of our younger players a lot of work and really, you know, help their development or assist their development there. So, you know, it was a very useful week. It was unusual not to play last Saturday, but I think all in all, it was a good positive week for us.
Kevin, you know how well the Shore Conference plays football in this state, you know, high school football. And you and your staff do a fantastic job of recruiting some of the better athletes, you know. Maybe not the ones that go to the real big Division I, but you get that second-line player, and in some cases they become first-line players. Your whole lineup is dotted with Shore players. Mention some of them for us, please.
Well, you've got Neil Sterling from Manasquan, who's had an outstanding career. He's a fifth-year senior for us, and, you know, he's had an exceptional career. As a matter of fact, in his last outing, he surpassed Miles Austin on the receptions list at Monmouth. He's a guy that we're expecting great things from, and he's a guy that has potential to play beyond college as well. We've got, as a young guy, Mike DeSeal, a safety from Brick Memorial, who came in this year and was college ready, and he was prepared to play college football, and he demonstrated that throughout the preseason practice period, and he's a starter in our secondary right now. You know, so you've got to feel real good about those guys. And Joe Johnson is probably the leader of our secondary. Joe's a corner. He's been starting the last 2 years. Joe's out of Manchester Township High School, and again, another great player for us, and a guy who's got more great football in front of him. You got Dan Sullivan at the middle linebacker position. Dan played at Manasquan as well with Neil Sterling. He's been a 3-year starter for us, and somebody that we're depending on for to do great things this year. Josh Samanowicz in the defensive line is another guy who's doing really good things for us. He started the last 2 years, and we're very happy with what he's doing. And, you know, I'm afraid right now as I'm talking to you, I'm missing some names right now,
yeah,
Ed, and I'm nervous about that. But there's a number of guys in the Shore who've had significant contributions at Monmouth.
Coach, with Wagner coming in, 1 o'clock game that you can listen here on the Shore Sports Network. You know, coaches always say that biggest improvement takes place from the first game to the second game. And you made mention about some things you were unhappy with going into week number 2 against Wagner. What kind of improvements are you expecting from your team? You know, specific things that you feel like you'll just be a little bit sharper on that you didn't have against Delaware State?
Well, you know, first of all, and this happened the very first play of the Delaware State game was kickoff coverage. And that's, interestingly enough, one of those things that you really can't practice full speed, or I choose not to practice full speed and go live during preseason. But that's a safety issue, and I'm always concerned about the safety of our players, and you just don't hit that live. And, you know, we went out for that coin toss, and we were receiving the ball had we won, but Delaware State won, and they received, and we had to kick off, and we had a breakdown, and 10 seconds into the game, we're down 7-0. And so over the last 2 weeks, that's something that we've spent a lot of time on. We've changed some things. We've changed our scheme of how we're going to do some things there, and I hope to be, you know, much better at that this week. I think our offensive efficiency, you know, we had a lot of first down breakdowns on offense, and that got us into second and long situations that resulted in third and long situations. So that's an area, and some of them were penalties, but that's an area where we can do better. You know, our perimeter tackling on the defensive side, I thought overall we tackled pretty well, but on the perimeter it wasn't as good as it needed to be. And so those are just some of the things, Matt, that we need to do better.
And you can see those Hawks do those things better, hopefully, Saturday afternoon at home against Kessler Field against Wagner. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff. The weather looks pretty good for early in the day on Saturday. It might get a little funky later in the day, but hopefully fans will make their way up and see Monmouth University. Of course, you can listen to Coach Cal and Matt every Tuesday night right here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. But as always, Coach, we thank you for your time. Wish you the very best on Saturday and look forward to chatting with you next week.
Guys, thank you very much. We'll see you on Saturday.
All right, there goes Coach Kevin Callahan. We'll take one more break. When we come back, Scott Stump rejoins us. We really take a look at this first full weekend of high school football at the Jersey Shore. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shores Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
We're in the fourth quarter here from the Water Street Bar and Grill. Kevin Williams, Ed Sarluka, Matt Harmon, Scott Stump, Tom Tremblay, who's making sure everything works, and he has been a very busy man here, and Brian Cedillo doing his usual great job back at the Shore Sports Network studios. Scott has rejoined us. You know, one of the things we didn't get a chance to talk about, there are 9 new head coaches in the Shore this year, so that's more than 20%, and there are actually quite a few second-year coaches. There's a lot of young coaches. Of the 9, I'll kind of throw this one to you, Scott. Who's got the greatest challenges to be successful? And not necessarily year one, but, I mean, who's kind of in the catbird seat there, do you think, a little bit?
Well, it depends on challenges as far as living up to your predecessor, because you have, like, a John Paskowski at Keyport following Mike Ciccatelli, Hall of Famer, 6 state titles. It's never easy being the guy who follows the Hall of Fame guy. And then you have guys like Rodney Taylor at Neptune, a traditionally strong program with high expectations. You know, a lot of guys back, you know, so there's that kind of pressure of upholding the tradition and keeping them in the hunt. You know, so I think those are two you can look at. But, yeah, I mean, the Shore, then you have others like Mark Ciccatelli, who I think comes in with a lot of fanfare of, you know, this is the guy that's going to turn our program around. He's going to take St. John Vianney and get us competing with the RBCs of the world.
The only one who did coach last year as a head coach in the Shore.
Let me ask you this. It's interesting, and we had talked about this. A lot of those coaching vacancies took place very late, like late spring into the summer. Is that telling us something, or is it just a coincidence?
I think it's, in some instances, it might have been a coincidence, but I do think that, you know, a lot of decisions were made by the board, these board of eds, very late in the year, where we're not going to bring this previous coach back, or because you know how a lot of times it's, they allow you to resign, but they're not going to rehire you. So,
yeah,
you know, sort of that sort of situation where, yes, you technically stepped down, but the alternative was us not bringing you back.
Right.
So I think that's a tricky situation. And you have other coaches, you know, that left to take other jobs. You know, Nick Gregorio from Wall went up to coach at, I believe it's Dover in North Jersey. And Dan Curcione, who I, you know, talked to in the preseason, he said it was really tough. I mean, as far as getting an off-season conditioning program and getting in, you know, practice work and things like that, he's like, I didn't get the job till almost mid-June. You know, we're way behind a lot of teams. And then you had other schools, yeah, where maybe it was an abrupt kind of resignation, like Colts Neck, I felt like was another very late in the year. Greg LaCava decided he was going to step down after a tremendous season, you know, the best season in the history of their program. He had a ton of success there. And then, you know, Peter Shaw coming in from out of state, you know, had been coaching in Virginia at the college level and things like that. So, you know, there was definitely a lot of late season changes. And to be honest, I wouldn't be shocked if that becomes a little more of the norm.
I'll tell you the one thing that among the 9, looking at the schools, you know, Asbury, Colts Neck, Holmdel, Howe, Keyport, Manchester, Neptune, Vianney, and Wall, I don't think you look at it and say any of those 9 schools are going to have a slam dunk, like, over-the-top great season. Everyone's going to probably not struggle, but, you know, have to really work for the wins
that
they're going to get.
Yeah, it's not a Reggie Lawrence taking over a Jackson Memorial team that is ready to just trample everybody in the early 2000s.
No one's being handed a program.
Right, no one's being handed a team that's expected to go 12-0 this year or anything like that. I mean, you look at a guy like Brian Batchelor last year at Rumson, took over a program that was in good hands and then went 11-1 in his first season and really did a tremendous job of taking them to an even higher level than what they had been at.
Yeah, a state championship.
All right, so now we're in our first full weekend. Weekend one, week one of the season. Handful of games that have significance. I mean a lot to teams.
And I think you're going to find out a lot about certain teams right off the bat. Neptune Ocean, I think, is a traditional slugfest between two old rivals. Unfortunately, you know, Royal Moore, that would have been a big subplot. He transferred from Ocean to Neptune in the offseason. He was going to play quarterback and corner for Neptune. Has to sit the 30 days, so he will be not be playing against his old team. But the Mattawan St. John Vianney game, I think that's if St. John Vianney is seriously going to make a run at this A Central title, that's a game that you have to win right away. We have Mattawan ranked in the top 10. They won 7 games last year. They bring back a tremendous defense. We saw them in the 7-on-7s over the summer. Not that that's the be-all, end-all, but they have some great athletes offensively. And not only that, there's the whole subplot, 2 Mattawan transfers now at St. John Vianney that are eligible, Khalil Haskins and Calvin Beattie, that are going to be playing against their old team. Anthony Brown, St. John Vianney's quarterback, was a Pop Warner star in Mattawan who elected to come to St. John Vianney. And, you know, there's other ties on some other, with some other players on the team. So that game you're going to see is going to be pretty emotionally charged, I think. And looks like that area is becoming a battleground for talent. That almost becomes a poster for your program, whether you should come here or there.
Scott, an intriguing game to me is in the A-South, Southern at Toms River East. Two schools that are looking to maybe take a little jump this year.
Yeah, and I think two schools that probably were a little overlooked in the preseason in that division. So much of the talk, Brick, Toms River South, Jackson Memorial, you know, a Lacey team that was flying high last year and then struggled at the end. But I think that game is just going to tell you Southern graduated almost every key starter, particularly on offense, including Mike Kosicki, who's now playing as a true freshman at Penn State. So I think at first it's just going to give us a look at who Southern really has offensively. I know they have a big line. They have some tough players on defense. But and then Toms River East, you know, they graduated Matt Goodzak, who's also playing as a true freshman at Villanova. So they lost a good senior class, but they played a lot of sophomores last year, juniors that are back this season. So I know they were probably a little disappointed with their year last year in 4-6 with that big senior class. So I think that's an early separation game in a division that's pretty cutthroat. You know, you fall behind by a game or two in A-South, you're probably done.
What else do
you
like?
I'm ready for the picks.
By the way, our picks.
We're not doing them.
Our picks, by the way, and all four of us, along with Bob Batters, you can view our picks at SureSportsNetwork.com. They were posted this afternoon. There'll be a lot of trash talk going on and some big games this week. We mentioned the Freehold Township game.
The Brick Memorial
Brick,
game.
Brick Memorial game. You know, so you can check out our picks and obviously, you know, we'll be wrong as much.
And I think one game that, you know, it involves a non-conference team, but again, where we're really going to find out is South Brunswick against Middletown South. To me, that if Middletown South is really ready to come back and be that team that's back in the state finals and challenging, you know, Manalapan to try and end their reign in A-North, if you go out and beat South Brunswick, you're really going to get people's attention.
Yeah, we both saw Middletown South, Kevin, Scott and I, on Saturday against an undermanned Marlboro team where they could have named the score. What was it, 56-0? 56-0. And they were impressive. Now, do you take anything out of that, you know, because of a lesser opponent? Well, to me, they look pretty sharp. And everybody, a lot of people predict them to be a year away because they're playing a lot of those juniors. But I'll tell you, I think they're going to challenge Manalapan, you know, in that Manalapan in the A-North. Right?
When you put your top 10 together for the Shore Sports Network, Scott, what if you look at it 1 through 10, who's the team that maybe has the biggest batch of question marks that you thought, maybe they should be 11 rather than, and I hate to say it's based off of just 10 number, it would be Long Branch, but it's not necessarily always the case.
I would say Long Branch, just part of it is their schedule is psychotic. You know, it's one playoff team and good team after another. Probably maybe the second hardest schedule against RBC, actually. 8 of RBC's 9 opponents were playoff teams last year, and 4 of them were division champions. So they have a test, but they're, you know, a loaded team. But, yeah, Long Branch, I mean, I think in the preseason, whenever you get down into that 8, 9, 10 range with your preseason top 10, you're kind of just throwing a couple teams against the wall and seeing if they make it out of the first 2 weeks of the season. Like a Mattawan plays St. John Vianney and then Rumson Fairhaven in the first 2 weeks. So we'll know about them right away. And you know, Long Branch has to play RBC this weekend, but then they go and play Carteret, who's the team that beat them in the playoffs last year. So I think part of me, too, wanted to see some teams that are going to get tested early on. And I think another team that you could say has questions simply because of graduation is Ocean. They had a tremendous defense last year that was one of the best in the Shore Conference, but they lost Dan Loizos, you know, Mike Holowani, and Royal Moore transferred, who was a top corner. So they have to replace almost everyone on defense. They still have Frank Henry, who's a tremendous safety, but I think that's a team that may have to answer some questions again against a tough B-North schedule.
As we get ready to wrap up tonight in our first show, by the way, we did not spend much time on Rumson because they've got a bye this week.
Only team.
They don't play till next week. We talked Long Branch at RBC Friday. RBC, no, that's the only top 10 matchup this weekend. Number 2, Brick Bris, it's Brick Memorial on Saturday afternoon. Number 4, Manalapan is at Marlboro Saturday afternoon. 5th-ranked Barnegat will open at home against Manchester tomorrow night. Number 6, Toms of Versouth visits Donovan Catholic tomorrow night. Number 7, Middletown South home against South Brunswick. Neptune at number 8, Ocean. And number 9, Mattawan visits St. John Vianney. So a pretty good first full weekend. And I think when we talk next week, we'll have some very interesting conversations and topics. I want to thank all our guests tonight. Jamie Gordonier from Red Bank Catholic, Carmen Sclafani from Brick. Of course, Scott Stump joining us live here, Coach Callahan, Matt, Ned, of course. Thanks to Tom Tremblay for all his work tonight, and Brian Cedillo. Have a great football weekend, everyone. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show. You've been listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
This has been the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on News Talk Radio, WOBM, AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show was presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Join us again next week. And for a complete look at Shore Conference football anytime, visit ShoreSportsNetwork.com.